Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... You know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. Very excited about having Gary Moore back on the show. Gary's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. In fact, he's an original member all the way back to 1998. Later this year, we'll celebrate our 12th anniversary with Gary, and we're looking forward to that already. Gary's former vice president of investments at Payne Webber. That was in another life. He went out on his own and started his own investment company, which he still operates right now. He's a disciple of Sir John Templeton, and which produced his book, Spiritual Investments, Wall Street Wisdom from the Career of Sir John Templeton. That's one of my favorites still. His latest book is called Faithful Finances 101, and he's here to talk to us about a very important topic. Gary Moore, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you, Jim. It's always a lesson in humility.
It's good to have you back, Gary, as always. Gary, the stock market is always known as a leading indicator of what the economy's doing. And if the stock market's, you know, having some trouble, then that's a leading indicator that way. And if it's surging like it has been for the last 11 months or so, it's an indicator in that direction. But it seems to be getting a little bit far out front. It seems to be like going over the horizon a little bit on the regular economy, and it seems to have. There's an old joke about the train robbers the bank robbers, and one group went off with the money one way, and the other two went off the other way, and one said to the other, who didn't have the money, it looks like they got a plan, and the other guy said, yeah, but looks like we're not part of it. So it kind of looks like the Wall Street has a plan, but maybe the rest of us aren't part of it. What do you think?
Yeah, that's been going on for some time now, Jim. This era, people don't understand it. The era your parents grew up in and my parents grew up in, it was basically the real economy, and people produce goods and services, and we, and there was enough money around to expedite that, if you will. And we've kind of had the financialization of America, and what it means is that roughly 25% of our GDP and what people do is just trade paper around, and that's a different game.
Mm-hmm.
The way I explain it is visualize a pipeline. When I joined Wall Street, there would be people with excess money here in Florida, for example, retirees, and then there would be on one end of the pipeline, and on the other end of the pipeline, there would be someone who needed that to do something good for society. And basically, we were like a little motor in the middle, and we got paid 10% of the nation's GDP to keep that money flowing from one person to another. And we sat there and we watched all this money flowing by, and we said, why are we just acting like a motor? Why don't we just put some siphons on this deal?
Mm-hmm.
We began proprietary trading, it's called. And at one point, if I'm not mistaken, at the peak, like 99, financial services got up to like 40% of GDP.
Wow.
I mean, it was crazy. All everybody was doing. Remember day traders?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
About people sitting in their homes doing nothing but trading paper all day. And it wasn't just Wall Street. It was all of us. And the financial services industries grew and so on and so on. So that's what's happened. And today the problem is we've got so much money out there that we really don't know where to put it to produce goods and services.
And so it winds up going. It winds up seeking. Some of it winds up seeking things that are not productive. They're just investments for their own sake.
Well, I call it casino capitalism.
That's what a lot of people have called it.
Well, and my interpretation of that, and that usually infers just trading for the paper. And okay, but think about going to a casino, Jim, and just putting your coins in. You're only thinking about one thing. You don't care what goes on inside that machine. You're just looking at the payout to you, right?
Right.
Okay, and then the croupiers take their cut, and the casino operators, in other words, and you get that back, and you don't care if that's done anything or not. Well, the secret is, and what I specialize in these days, understanding the system, is there's some forms of investing called socially responsible investing, community development banking, and so on, that actually looks in that machine and says, you know, I really care what goes on in
mm-hmm.
And I'd really like for it to be doing something beneficial for others as well as me. Now, I'm interested in my payout, but I want to make sure that it's helping someone else. And here's the paradox, Jim. As the subprime mortgage crisis proved, is that the more you look into that machine today, the mm-hmm. better the odds of it actually getting back to you some of your money.
Right. Hold on to that thought, Gary. I want to come. We're going to come right back to that, folks. He's getting to the nut of this matter, to the point of this whole matter. All this stuff, all this reform stuff that's going on, it's gotta come from within us, folks, not from the government, not from just laws. 20 Tail, stay with us.
Don't let the sun catch you crying.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. There's the Jerry and the Pacemakers bringing us back, and that's Jerry with a G. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out. Hope you use it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Gary Moore is our guest. He's the author of Faithful Finances. He's one of our top investment experts in the Brain Trust, and the guy who talks to us a lot about ethical investing. Right, Gary? Is that one way to say it?
Yeah, that term is used interchangeably with values investing, socially responsible investing. Some conservative Christians call it biblically responsible investing.
But it doesn't have to be a theological thing at all. It could simply be that you want to do business with people that are not gaming the system, who aren't selling something that like these derivatives, papers, real estate mortgage securities that were sold back in back in the earlier part of this last decade, where the leverage was 70-1 and it was sold maybe once or twice more without any kind of additional collateral added. It was just leveraged one time on top of another time for the simple purpose of making another transaction.
Well, that's
unethical, isn't it? Isn't that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, isn't? Well, let me say this. It may not have been illegal, but it certainly was unethical because of what it created, right?
Actually, The Economist magazine last week wrote about Goldman Sachs, and the headline of the article was "Unethical Until Proven Guilty."
Yeah.
They were making the case that it might be hard to prove the guilt. See, this stuff is so complicated, no congressman's ever thought of making it illegal.
Right.
Nobody can understand it.
Right.
So then we do it, and everybody says, oh, well, it was legal. Well, you know, so what? It just, you can't create products that you know are going to go down in value, which apparently Goldman did at the peak.
But isn't there argument that they had people who wanted to buy the products, and they had people which meant they wanted to go long on the product, and then they had people who wanted to short the product?
Well, I mean, that's the market, Jim. Every day you got two differing opinions, or the market doesn't exist.
The bears and the bulls.
So yes, that is the nature of Wall Street. What happened with Goldman this time, though, was that one of the guys wanting to bet against the mortgage market came to Goldman and said, "I want to bet against it. I'm going to create a fund that is stocked with the worst stuff there is because I want to bet against it." And Goldman created that at his request and went out and sold it to someone who was.
You're saying they created? Are you saying they created a product that was destined to fail, and they shorted it, they sold it as a long investment, but then they shorted it because they knew it was going to fail?
That's exactly the.
Is that what's being proposed right now?
That's what they're alleging. Yes.
And is that fraud?
That's what the government is claiming.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that'll have to be proven. And
So it's not just the argument, the classic argument of, well, there are people who go long, people who go short. We serve both of them. You're saying they produced a product that was destined to fail.
Well, that's it was probable to fail because it had been created to fail.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole.
Now that is now that's an interesting scenario there, and that contributed to. To the downfall of the collapse of Wall Street and the downfall of the economy.
Yeah, but let's be honest. The Goldman is not the worst in this, Jim. They're getting the slack or criticism today because they're the survivors. They probably ran a cleaner shop than, of course, Lehman and all the guys who are gone.
Right.
Stearns and so on. And we need to remember that.
How about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac?
Well, those are different issues. There, you've got. And here's the big picture.
What about the bad accounting there that was never pursued in Fannie Mae?
Well, here's the problem. Mortgages in America today, the housing industry is a subsidized industry.
Okay? Right.
Whether it's taxes, whatever it happens,
right.
Mortgages, whatever. Somebody's got to subsidize that. Now, it used to be the savings and loans, and of course they all went kaput. Then it became Fannie and Freddie. But the point is if you've got benefits on one side of the scale, like tax benefits and so on, somebody's paying for that. And if it's not the homeowner, who has rarely done it until recently, then somebody in the market has got to do it, and it's a question of who's going to get in trouble, and this time Fannie and Freddie. And next time, you know, we don't know who it's going to be. But that's just been the nature of that industry.
Well, clearly there were excesses. Those excesses have come home to roost now. We've had the meltdown, and we're paying for all that right now. The question is as we get geared up to go again, are we going to wind up with a clean process, or is it still going to have the vestiges of the bad stuff?
Well, you're going to, everything shifts. You know, it shifts from the SNLs to Fannie and Freddie and to CDOs and so on. In essence, the Wall Street firms packaging these mortgages were just the old SNLs, and that's the way to understand it. Yes, something else will come along, Jim. The important part in what we had been talking about is that all this money from the stimulus and so on is going back into the market, and I'm convinced we're blowing another bubble.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a bubble?
Well, a stock market bubble.
Yeah.
My guess is you're probably headed back to previous highs where we were. The thing that amazes me is how quickly we forget. You know.
So you're in the camp that thinks that maybe the prices we've gotten, the ones we're headed for, are not being justified by the performance of the companies.
We're already overvalued.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good point. I want you to come back to that, folks. I'm going to get Gary to come back to that right after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Gary Moore is our guest. His book is called Faithful Finances 101.
That's a lot of us.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Gary Moore is our guest, and he's the author of Faithful Finances 101. He's one of the top financial advisors in our Brain Trust. Gary, tell us how we can find you and how we can who does business with you?
Who does business?
Yeah. Who are your customers?
Anyone who comes to me and referrals, and that can be anywhere from a very wealthy guy to a widow that's referred to me by a pastor. We help anyone who needs help, Jim.
All right. And so how do we find you?
Well, you can go to my website, financialseminary.org. We're a nonprofit. On that side, I have an investment practice just like anybody else. But then we also have an educational website that's a nonprofit where we teach in seminaries, corporations, and so on who are interested in ethics all the way to theology. And Yep.
All right. So check it out, folks. FaithfulFinances.com? Financial Seminary.
.org.
FinancialSeminary.org. I got too many titles in my head here. Gary, you were saying that you think that the stock market's overvalued. I try to remind people that the stock market should be a derivative of Main Street.
Right.
Meaning nothing happens on Wall Street until somebody sells something on Main Street.
Right.
But with this monopoly money that the government's giving putting in the economy. That money's got to go somewhere, and you're saying it's driving up. You think that's part of what's driving up the stock prices?
Oh, there's no question
about it. Because the earnings that are companies still getting earnings improvement largely based on the former price cutting, and that may not be able to be repeated in the next few quarters.
In general, what happened, there's two things, Jim. One, last year in the Great Recession, there was cost cutting unbelievably. Now, the problem. Now,
unlike any time I've seen in my life.
You can't really cut your way to growth. That's the problem.
You can't starve your way out of profit.
That's it. And what's happening this year is, of course, the comparisons against last year are so good that everyone gets excited about it.
Right. Plus the stimulus money.
There you go. And so everything is comparison-based. And, yes, coming up, we're going to, have some unfavorable, probably, comparisons and so on.
I've never known you to be a bear, but you've become a bear, haven't you?
No, not really. Not at all. It's just, let me tell you, I'm still playing the stock market here. Because let me tell you what I believe is happening. Next year, and this is a crucial point for your listeners, Jim, next year people always ask, well, geez, Gary, if the stock market's overvalued, doesn't that mean you got to get out? Well, the answer is no. Next year is the third year of a presidential cycle, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
We have not since the 30s have we had a third year in the stock market that's been a down year, third year of a presidential cycle. The Fed always accommodates the reelection of the president, of course, and next year is it. So my gurus, which would include Jeremy Grantham and so on of GMO, who's just became my guru after Sir John passed on, he believes that this thing is going to go back to previous highs. And now that's your dilemma. You're overvalued. You know you're playing the bubble. Just understand you're... From this point on in the stock market, anything you gain is going to be a bubble, Jim.
Well, is it possible that there's so much pent-up demand, and I think there is a lot of pent-up demand out there, that as the economy turns, as people start getting more positive about things, is it possible that the economy could catch up with the stock market and start and undergird it and make those values real?
Yeah, absolutely. And
that could happen. That could happen in an 18-month period, couldn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And that's crucial to understand. Let me explain it. Think of the stock market as the engine of a car, Jim. Okay. And what happened last year is it seized up. It got overheated and was going too fast, and it seized up. But the car kept on cruising down the road, kind of, you know, under its own power,
right,
if you will. But and then what's happened is the Fed went to work on the engine, okay, got it running again, and so we're starting to pick up again. And long story short, it is the engine, stock market's a leading indicator. What's happening to this point is the banks are the engine, if you will, of the country.
Mm-hmm.
The Fed has worked on that engine until the point that it can get the car moving again. Takes a little time because of its, you know, slowdown and so on. But it's moving again. And so you could well see small business and so on pick up actual economic activity through next year, which we're seeing somewhat in housing and stuff.
Right.
And so, yeah. So
from an economic standpoint, you're pretty positive about where we're headed right now, aren't you?
I wouldn't say positive. We still got an awful lot of problems.
A lot of toxins to eat, right? We still got to absorb.
Absolutely.
But overall, what's your attitude quickly?
You're going to play the stock market, play it for the next year, and then realize you better, you know, be more consistent.
Watch it closely after that. Hey, Gary, thanks for being here. Good job today.
All right, buddy. Good talking to you.
Gonna have to go. Gary Moore, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be back tomorrow. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll see you then.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.